Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
That's Dumim Gokstad with You Saved My Life. And it takes us down to 26 minutes after the hour of 12 o'clock. Right ahead of it was You Will Worship with Kaya Mteta with This I Know. Or otherwise, you would know it as Ungizungezile. Very good afternoon to you if you've just tuned in. I'm smiling. I'm in a moment here. I'm just... Guys, counterfeit is going to be the end of us. Counterfeit is definitely going to be the end of us. So Dr. J comes in while I'm laughing. And I'm like, no, man. So I'm taking a picture of what I assume to be a Vaseline brand. It's a lip, like lip therapy thing. And generally, I'm telling him, generally, I use a Vaseline one. That's the... Otherwise, it needs to be that expensive thing, Lipsano. You know that one, Dr. J?
Mm-hmm.
Usually, I use that. But then when I go close enough, I'll go to Vaseline when I'm really broke. So I bought what I believe to be Vaseline. And this is like 2 weeks ago when I was in East London. But now I'm sitting here and I'm like, no, this time around it's not working. Actually, my lips feel funny even now. I need to wipe them. So eventually, I'm taking a picture because I want to ask guys, what's wrong with this product this time around? It's just not working.
Mm-hmm.
Do I not closely inspect while I'm taking a picture? And I realize it's the what? Vialis. Ah, guys, I've been carrying this thing around for weeks. This is the end of my journey with it. How are you doing, Dr. J?
Good, look, I think at the back of your mind, you had Vaseline.
I did.
That's why I think the usurpation of brand now
will
get a very close resemblance to the main name.
Guys, it looks like it.
Yeah.
It looks like it.
So I think somewhere, I wouldn't name it, somewhere in Pretoria as well, we had ShopRite, that is a main brand without advertisement. Then we had another shop that came up with Hope Right.
I saw that somewhere in is it Acadia in that
Acadia,
area. Yes.
Somewhere around Acadia.
I was wondering what's happening there.
And I said, I think this is very intentional to just deviate clients from ShopRite into that space.
If I could be tricked by this little thing, then it's definitely going to trick somebody else.
And I think so because, brand usurpations are really taking place now, big time. And they will use the same color. If you see the packaging and everything, it looks virtually like Vaseline brand.
I think I'm being punished for being a cheapskate.
No, don't worry. I don't think so.
I
don't think so.
We
all fall into it, and definitely, if you don't apply your mind, you'll get into that space. But the reality is that if it doesn't harm you, then you're safe. I think
clearly it's harming me because it's not doing the work.
As listeners, our main concern is that you're safe. And I think I'm here in the studio to confirm that you're safe. And I think law enforcement will definitely get on whatever to be able to curb a lot of counterfeit going on there.
Yeah, yeah.
And talking of counterfeit, I just believe that in as much as we live the Christian life also, we should be careful of counterfeit out there because it goes with products, but it also goes also even with a lot of those who are running in the name of Christ and using that metaphor, and they are not duly representing Christ
in
really lifestyle and in also preaching and teaching. And that's why I think the platform afforded us here is just to make sure
that everything's legit.
That by the grace of God and by the Spirit of God and by the gift of discernment, we're able to pick out counterfeits, from the very space that we find ourselves as Christians.
Yeah.
Because there are many who prefer, to be followers of Christ. I don't want to get into the details of those who even run ministries. But those ministries don't really stand for the very intent and purpose of Christ Jesus. And I think this gives us a big insight to the reality of what we are facing in this fallen world, in this broken world. I'm going to be doing a presentation month end at Wits University on homelessness, especially in practical space. And my thought again is, if you interrogate yourself, what causes homelessness from a spiritual point of view, because homelessness has a very diverse, you know, connotation. You can appreciate it from a very architectural point of view, where you talk about housing. You can talk about it from a legal point of view. But if you talk about homelessness from a spiritual point of view, you look at the depravity of man, and you get to realize that all of this stems from the very brokenness of human race.
True.
Because before the fall, we definitely, the Garden of Eden was enough home for Adam and Eve. Mm-hmm. And they felt secured because God gave them everything in terms of abundance, in terms of his presence, in terms of shelter and everything. But when man disobeyed, when Adam and Eve disobeyed, that's what introduced, you know, the depravity that we find ourselves in. And so that would be the proclivity of humankind.
Yeah.
You know, you always find people with a tendency of getting into counterfeit.
Of course.
Okay, I've used a very long preamble to justify that again.
I got it.
So you always find it, you know, in one of our very sessions at the University of Pretoria. I think one of the lecturers asked, are we going to come to an absolute where there wouldn't be homelessness in the world? And I said, no, I don't think we can mitigate the incidence of homelessness. We might not talk about, you know, complete, you know, everyone being in a state.
Yeah. And we
can't eradicate it. That would be an ideal. And we're looking for that very ideal moment, you know, an episode of life where everyone should really have, if we define homelessness in terms of shelter, everyone should have shelter.
Yeah.
And in the very definition of Section 26 of the Constitution, should have adequate housing for everyone, because it's not just housing, but adequate housing, adequate shelter, where you really feel at home, secured, and you have your sense of purpose, dignity, and identity in that space. So I said, we can't get there because, again, I give this reason, because of the depravity of man, because we've gotten to a point where sin has come in, and sin will not give sometimes, you know, equal opportunities. I'm from a human right perspective, I pray, and the ideal again is that everybody's rights should be respected. But again, you can't find that absolute.
Of course,
you can't
of
find
course.
It. You always find the disparities,
the imbalances. Yeah.
And again, I just believe Christ is calling us, especially most of us who have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that we should have a mindset to get into the space of inner quizzes and help those who are really, number one, I believe presenting the gospel is a very vital component because it addresses the fundamental needs of the people. But while we live in a broken world, also there are social realities that we also have to transcend and see how we can meet this need. So I think your experience has broadened a little bit of my excitement this afternoon to look at, you know, the different parameters that surround human existence. Last week, I talked about the reality of God turning around our situations local. And I gave a topic from Genesis 45, I think 1-7, where I highlighted the story of Joseph. Mm-hmm. Joseph, who lived with his brothers and had definitely, maybe at some point in time, the Bible did not give us this, but maybe from their very childhood, there was some sort of a bond. But because as time went on, some preferential treatments started coming towards Joseph, because how do we know that? The Bible says the father loved him, you know, and gave him a coat of many colors. So there was a preferential treatment, not really with an intention to do that at the expense of the other brothers or siblings. But the intention was definitely that it was just a soft spot. Joseph was a soft spot to the father. But it was misconstrued.
Yeah.
It happens in family circles.
I was about to say it's our everyday life. I had a conversation with my sister recently where I said to her, I was aggrieved a lot by how my mom favored her for the longest time. And I said to her, but with adulthood and maturity comes the understanding of why certain things are done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mom would always make an excuse. My mom has this psychology where she says, if a particular child is lacking,
mm-hmm.
she sees the need to run and cover that point of lack. And because my twin brother and I always seemed to be like the independent ones at a point in time, growing up, it felt as if we were more neglected.
Wow.
But I said to her, and I was driving with her to the Eastern Cape, and I said, but growing up or having grown up, I got to understand a couple of things.
Wow.
One, that they were much older and had bonded more with my mom over the years and she had understood their characters more.
Mm.
But also, most importantly, she wasn't neglecting us.
Mm.
But she always had to cover up for those who were lacking.
Oh,
and so it seemed as if she was investing more energy on them. But that wasn't necessarily the case.
The case, yeah.
Another one that really aggrieved us was the fact that they had more opportunities than us.
Mm.
And one of the reasons was because my mom was a single married parent.
Mm.
And she always had to provide for all of us. And so I said to my sister, then I got to understand she tried it with my older brother. It worked. In other words, the provision, taking them to better schools. Then my sister came in. She could still breathe. Then my other brother came in. At that point in time, now that I look back, I'm like, she was beginning to drown.
Oh, wow.
And so when the two then came, which is my twin brother and I, the last ones, the reality really struck that I can't do it. I've done it with the first, done it. I was still surviving. Third one, I was barely breathing. And then two had to kick in. She had to be real with herself and say, I can't do it.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, we had to be the casualties there.
Oh, wow.
Because I can't afford it. So they must go to, they can't go to private schools like the other three.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not going to make time if I still need to provide for them. And so I said to my sister, that unfortunately, Dr. J, out of the five kids, we then had to go to a public school, and not just any public school, Ekasi, which we were not familiar with. And so these three were still at a private school. But over the years, she still couldn't breathe and she took one out. Eventually, she took one out. And this one now, which is my sister, was failing. So she had an excuse to say, get out. I can't afford it. So I had that conversation with her and I said, I had to forgive my mom for that because she was... I'm now an adult and I understand better as well.
Yeah.
It was affordability issues.
Yeah.
And so I had to also forgive my siblings. It wasn't their fault.
It wasn't.
It really
wasn't
their fault.
Yeah.
So she looked at me and we had that moment driving, you know, 14-hour drives. And she said, now I understand. I really do. I was like, we resented our siblings for the longest time because of that.
Oh, wow.
We did.
Wow.
Both my twin brother and I.
Mm.
And the worst part was that we were the achievers.
Mm.
Academically, we were better than the rest of them. So it was like, why aren't we deserving of these opportunities that they got? So it's exactly the same.
I also went to public school. I always say those who go through public school, God makes them public. That's my perspective.
You end up achieving. But preferential treatment, like you're saying, sometimes is really not, it's not intentional. It's not
it's
say
not intentional.
This child is better.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's certain circumstances.
Yeah.
Maybe because the other one is just, Joseph was just really special.
Look, maybe and definitely might be a behavioral defect also. You wouldn't blame it, you know, otherwise, but it might be Joseph comes in as the child of Jacob's, you know, old age, you know, and he finds himself in that very stage of life where he sees maybe Joseph as a grand child than a child even.
Okay, get it.
And so you find that relationship. So there are many factors, as you said, which might justify, but again, does not preclude the fact that we're passing a message today.
Yeah.
If you have to love your kids, love all of them.
Yeah.
Don't show partiality. don't show partiality, because definitely, again, no matter how you might justify it, it might be misconstrued, and especially
and can be damaging to the
other
ones.
It can be, especially when it's glaring. You know, when it's not in the hiding. you make it, you know, open out there, and so definitely, again, I'm talking maybe to that child who's gone through a public space,
yeah,
like some of us. Please get a perspective. And my perspective is always that, look, in the midst of inadequacies, in the midst of maybe even, permit me use the word, it's an extreme rejection, God always has a place for people like that.
Yep.
And it was a case also even of David, when his father did not even consider him, and God had him on his list to call him from a shepherd boy to become a king. And I want to believe that God always identifies those who are rejected, those who are relegated, those who are left, you know, alone to themselves to fend for life. God comes after those to identify with them and give them a spot, a place that you wouldn't even believe.
Come on.
So I'm encouraging somebody. I'm just encouraging somebody.
The last becomes the first.
The last becomes the first. I think you're preaching now. The last becomes the first. So God can turn around the tables. Mm. You know, God can turn around those tables, because, again, this is Joseph who seemingly, you know, before even Benjamin is born, is considered to be that very son that brings that soft spot to his father. But again, that atmosphere triggers jealousy. And I'm using the words very carefully. Maybe it triggers envy. Envy triggers jealousy.
Yep.
Jealousy triggers hatred.
Yep.
Hatred now triggers murder. You see the sequence of events, and that's why, you know, God had to admonish Cain that you should be careful, because sin is lurking around. So I'm talking to somebody now. You have to guard against envy, jealousy, because it might gravitate into hatred.
Yep.
And hatred might lead you
to a crime.
To a crime.
Yeah.
And you definitely you have to get to that point where if you're a Christian, please forgive. I don't know why I'm saying this today. Forgive. And I think that's where we celebrate, you know, local your healing, because you transcended that episode of life because of God. God helped you to realize that, look, Christ in me, the hope of glory, and that he is your sufficiency. And look, you are never defined by your externality. You are defined by he who lives in you. And Christ who lives in you is greater than the one who lives in the world and the things of the world.
Come on.
If you have Christ, you have everything. And I think if you have that perspective and that mindset, it starts really redefining your very spirit. Because I think that's a reality that we highlighted when we were sharing about God turning things around on the subject of our discussion and consideration today. We read 2 Corinthians 4:17, which says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." And the very popular verse, which I had time to share yesterday with Dr. Fred McDonald, and he told me that he also shared that last Sunday, you know, in church from the Amplified Version. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and purposes. His plan.
You won't believe this. This was the scripture yesterday.
Oh, wonderful. You're...
Pastor Moyo as well.
Oh.
But yes.
Greetings to you, Pastor Moyo. By the way, I had a good time with him. I sit down time with him this week, and we had a great fellowship together. So shout out to you, Pastor Moyo. God bless you, man of God. So I shared three realities last week, and the three realities about God's plan or God's purpose about your life. Number one, God's ultimate plan for your life is most often seen later, not at the beginning.
Yep.
So you wouldn't see it at the beginning. You always see it maybe at a later stage in life. Mm. But what happens is that you get frustrated. And in between, you get so frustrated because God uses those moments to forge you, to polish you, to build your character formation. James chapter 1 and verse 2, perseverance, which leads you into character formation. The word character formation of James, of I think Romans chapter 5 is also wedded the same in James to be maturity.
Okay.
So maturity, character formation, is that cycle of life that you go through when you go through trials, when you go through sufferings.
Come on.
And that's why the Bible says, count it all joy.
Count it all joy.
When you go through these very trials. And Romans chapter 5 says, the sufferings of life will produce perseverance. Perseverance will produce character. Character will produce hope. Amen. And hope will not disappoint because of the love of God that has been poured upon our hearts. And so the second reality I mentioned about God's plan for our lives is that God's ultimate plan will always meet resistance from within and without. So that's what Joseph faced in this context. He faced resistance from within. Resistance because maybe from the father, and I said resistance is different from opposition, but if you're not careful, resistance might gravitate to opposition.
I remember.
It might gravitate to opposition. I think in this instance of his father, very surprised of his dream, was like, I don't think you're interpreting this dream to mean my servant, your mother, will be submitting to you.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
H, now that you mention it now, this boy was favored by his dad.
Mm.
But one day he revealed a dream that made him lose all the favor with the father.
Seemingly.
The dad is like, hey, I hope you understood. I wish you understood. Because, so I learned. This is the reason why you're being naughty now.
This is the reason why your siblings are fighting you.
Yeah.
Look, the siblings.
I love you too much.
I love you too much. I spoiled you too much. Okay.
That's the one. I spoiled you too much.
So the siblings moved from resistance to opposition because I think they degenerated in their very bitterness, from envy, jealousy, hatred, and they intended harm, bodily harm, to Joseph. So you find when God has a hand over your life, when God has his hand over your life, you face resistance and sometimes even resistance that gravitates into opposition.
Yeah.
You face it within. I want to say within, which means family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't know why I'm saying this, local, but within might also mean within the church.
Come on.
because sometimes we just believe within is just family, but within just might be the family of the church. You might find resistance inside.
True.
So I'm talking to somebody and you just might be going through a tough time in your church now and not realizing that despite the challenges that you're facing within the circle of the church, brethren. I don't want to name anyone.
God knows. No names.
But God will see you through. God will see you through. I don't know what you're going through in church now. I don't know the episode of your life that you're going through in church now. Maybe somebody not greeting you, somebody not talking to you, and you can't even understand why this person does not like you. You can't give an answer to the very every resistance that this person is fronting and showing off, towards towards you. You can't really justify it.
You can't make sense of it.
You can't make sense out of it. But again, I just believe that God is going to prove to you good in the midst of that very tumultuous situation. The last point we mentioned last week was that God's ultimate plan is good, acceptable, and perfect. And our transitional question for everybody preaching, if you're doing expository preaching, I always recommend that you always have your transitional question. Transitional questions lead us always to the key points that you want to highlight. Mm-hmm. And my transitional question is, how does this turnaround take place? How does it really take place in light of what we see in Genesis 45? Mm-hmm. So, we've had Joseph who's gone through a very tough time. His brothers have betrayed him, put him in a pit. They've sold him out at Potiphar's house. And the next thing is that he goes from Potiphar's house. He's falsely accused. Mm-hmm. Look, when your situations just seem to get worse, then in God's sight, it's just getting better.
Come on.
And you wouldn't know that you're going to Potiphar's house into the prison is just getting you closer and closer to the very destiny and the very plan that God has for your life. Mm-hmm. And so take note, sometimes some people think your demotion is demotion, but we believe your demotion is your promotion.
Come on.
And that's what happens with Joseph. So he goes from Potiphar's house to, he leaves a pit. I don't know why people use the piece there. He leaves a pit into Potiphar's wife from Potiphar's house. From Potiphar's house, where he's falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, mm-hmm. he gets into the next P, which is a prison. And from the prison, he gets into the fourth P, which is a palace.
Come on. And the four P's.
Sometimes you must pass through those P's, look, wow. I'll give you an irony. Somebody said there's an irony happening in South Africa. Prisoners become presidents. Okay, don't get me there. Prisoners become presidents. And but the reality about it is that people who are rejected, people who are relegated, yeah. God uses them mightily.
I've so, never thought of that.
How does this turnaround take place over your life? Number one, the Bible says in Genesis 45, verse 1 to 2, that Joseph identified his brothers, yeah. but he wept. He wept, he cried when he saw them. They couldn't make him out, but he made them out. Mm. And so, number one, how do you experience a turnaround around your life? Write this down. When you accept your humanity, when you accept your humanity, when you accept your frailty, when you come to the point of your brokenness, look, we told that men don't cry, but Joseph had to cry. He had to cry because once upon a time, his very siblings betrayed him. Once upon a time, the everyone in church that you trusted betrayed you. Once upon a time, the very close relationship betrayed you. So you have to prove your humanity, and your humanity does not mean weakness. Your humanity just means that I need your grace, because the grace of God is made sufficient when we are weak. Because yep. when we are weak, then we are strong in yep. Christ, and we yep. can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen. I don't know who has been in that point of human weakness. I don't know if you've so much kept your tears, but I'm telling you, cried out. And if you're in the context of Joseph, cried aloud because the Bible says he cried so loud that the Egyptians even heard him. And his crying was also a form of healing. It was a form also of getting the closure that he needed, that I couldn't believe that my brothers could do this to me. And I'm praying for you, because you're going through a situation which still highlights your humanity. And your humanity means that if you humble yourself before God, his divinity will take over your humanity. Amen. We have to get to that point where we still understand, look, that we are human. We yeah. clothed with this human flesh. Mm. We're still living in a space where people can cause harm over your life. But the trust yeah. is that God can step in for every humanity. There is divinity.
Come on.
For every humanity. But it takes that human being to get to the point of acknowledging his divinity yeah. over your life. And I think that's where Joseph was. Joseph had to not prove himself to be a man. We're always told, especially African men, be a man.
Yep.
Men don't cry. But I want to tell you,
And it damages them.
And it damages them. It damages them. Gets to the point where people have betrayed you. Sister, people have betrayed you. Get back to your room and cry. Cry out to God, because God alone sees your heart and God will heal your heart. But number two, how do we experience that? We experience that from when we accept our humanity. Number two, how do we experience a turnaround when God reveals your new identity?
Amen.
So God can reveal your new identity, and Joseph reveals his new identity to these people, and these people are so surprised. His brethren are so surprised. They are surprised. There's this Bible scholar who said Joseph had to show a scar on himself for them to identify him. It's an inference.
Sure. All right.
It's an inference. But the truth is that some scars might remind some people how far they've come.
Yeah.
But in all what people think and have taught about you, God always has a new identity for you.
Amen.
Some people might call you with a past name, but God has a new name for you. Because it was Joseph in the pit who became Joseph a prime minister, just to add a fifth P. Just to add a fifth P.
Wow.
He became a prime minister. And I don't know to whom I'm talking today, but I think God is always in the business to changing identities. God might rewrite your story.
And elevate you.
Let me conclude with that. The first point of this interrogation, how does this turnaround take place in our life when you accept your humanity? Number two, when God reveals your new identity. Let me conclude because time is against us. How does this turnaround take place in your life? Very important question that we're asking today, but let me give you an answer. When you see God's glory in your story.
When you see God's glory in your story.
When you see God's glory in your story. That's a turnaround taking place in your life. Most of the times we don't see God's glory in our story. We see the pain in our story. We don't see the gain in our story. But in every story of a Christian,
God's glory needs to be revealed.
God's glory is revealed. Now I want to pray for somebody now who is just going through an episode of great challenge. I don't know your story, but I know that your story will end up with His glory. God will be glorified in the midst of all what is happening. The reality is that we've seen people who've come from humble backgrounds, that's your story, and they've ended up prime ministers. That's God's glory over their lives. You don't take the glory. God takes the glory. The only thing is that you take the blessing. God takes the glory. And I want to pray for somebody. I don't know, brother, sister, I don't know what you're going through, but I've come with a simple message. I don't know what you're going through. Father, I'm praying, let that story turn around for your glory. Let us see your glory in the midst of our story. May we see the gain in the midst of pain. May we see the promotion in the midst of demotion. May we see Christ in the midst of crisis. Father, strengthen your daughter from the inside out so that the end result will be your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless
you. God bless you.
Imihla yonke sikhona ku Facebook. Ngena ube ngumhlobo nawe. I Radio Pulpit Facebook yeyoluntu lonke.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit in collaboration with Need Pray is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Radio Pulpit is more than just a radio station. We're a community. For over 40 years, we've been a trusted Christian voice bringing God's word, encouragement, and hope into homes and businesses across South Africa and beyond. As a community radio station, we depend on your prayers, support, and partnership to continue broadcasting life-changing content. Together, we can build families, equip young leaders, and share Christ's message with the nation. You can support Radio Pulpit through once-off donations by way of EFT payment, Zapper and SnapScan, monthly debit orders, or even by leaving a bequest to ensure that this voice of hope continues for generations to come. Visit www.radiopulpit.co.za for banking details and QR codes. Stand with us, because Radio Pulpit needs you to survive and thrive.
Thola inkuthazo yakho nokuphakanyisa kanye nokuqiniswa imihla namalanga ekhasini lethu leFacebook. Hlanganyela nomphakathi weRadio Pulpit kuFacebook.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.